It's been so fun. Pastor Steve and I have had a lot of fun just talking about 1 John and what God would say to our church, you know, through these words. And one of the things I love about 1 John, it doesn't start off like the rest of the books. You know, most of the books start off, hey, my name's Matt, and I'm going to tell you about this and that. You know, it's kind of a greeting and a salutation. There's not in 1 John. It's kind of like he just hits the ground running, and part of it is because he's writing to a church that's in crisis mode. And a lot of times, what gets us in crisis mode are the things that begin to happen in our lives. And so John is writing. He's given us a little bit of perspective. How many of you know perspective is a really good thing? Raise your hand. Two of you. Okay. All right. Here we go. More. You know, it reminds me of the story and the girl from college. She writes home. She says, "Dear Dad, I just want you to know I'm dropping out of college today." She goes, "I met a guy. We spent a lot of time together. I started flunking out. By the way, I'm pregnant, so I'm going to move in with him. He thinks he's going to get a job real soon." And, you know, on and on and on. And the letter ends, you know, "P.S. All that really didn't happen, but I did flunk math." It's a little perspective, you know. It kind of helps, you know. Perspective is good. John has been writing. What's happened at the church is that they've been a fellowship for a while, and some of the leaders decide to leave. You know, sometimes people decide to leave a church. And that used to really bother me. But I remember, like, I've been stealing Pastor Steve's sermons for years. That was worst thing about coming here is I can't steal them anymore because you all were listening. But so I was listening to a sermon about 7 years ago, and it always bothers me when people leave the church. And I understand people are always going to leave. Some are going to leave for good reasons. Some are going to leave for bad reasons. Some people will leave because God wants them to go. Some people will leave just because they're mad. But don't worry, those people always come back. And then they always get mad about something else, and they always leave again, but they'll be back. And then, okay, so anyway, you got that. And I was listening to a sermon. Pastor Steve said, "I want you to know," this was like 7 years ago, "a lot of people have joined Hillview this year, and a lot of people have left." And he says, "And I want you to know, every one of them was a good trade." And churches go through times of crisis. In this church that John is writing to, they're going through a crisis. And so some of their leaders, some of the people that have been there the longest, they left and they bought into this new thing called docetism. And basically docetism is the belief that all flesh is evil. So how many of you have flesh? There's a lot of evil people. And so the docetists would believe that all flesh is evil. Well, here's the problem. If you believe that all flesh is evil, there are some basic things in our faith that you can't believe anymore. Such as Jesus came to earth and became a man. The docetists couldn't believe that. They rejected that teaching that Jesus was really here. You know, it's kind of funny, because I think a lot of people today kind of debate whether or not Jesus was really here. Was he really a man? I mean, did he really come? And it's so funny, because even secular historians, those who have no religious agenda, they write about the person of Jesus. They write about the miracles that he performed. And so Jesus is really here. Well, this church is in crisis because these people have left. They're freaking out. They're wondering, "God, what's going to happen? Where are you? Our church is really suffering. Are you going to be here, God?" And John is writing this letter. And he starts off 1 John saying, "That which was from the beginning." That which was from the beginning. It's a reminder to all of us. God has always been. And he is. And he always will be. This is God. I want you to be overwhelmed today at the God that we serve, that he is so capable. There's nothing you can ask that he couldn't do. He's an incredible God, and that doesn't mean he'll do everything that you ask, right? But there's nothing he couldn't do. This God, he's amazing. He has your life in his hands. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and I just want to tell you, man, if you're here, I'm going to fall. If you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know here at Hillview Heights that Jesus loves you. He's got a plan for your life, and there's nothing you've done that could get yourself out of the grasp of God, that he loves you. But here's what we also believe. There's no other hope except Jesus. And it doesn't matter what else could grab you. All that matters is that God can, and he's willing to save you. He can save you, but only he can do that. And we believe that here. So probably a lot of you come this morning just to check it out or whatever. You're welcome here, but we want you to know, man, we preach the cross and the resurrection. That Jesus came and He really did die. That's why in the baptistry we ask people, hey, you believe Jesus walked the earth and lived a perfect life? Because if you don't believe that, you can't be saved. You can't be saved if you don't believe that. You have to believe that Jesus was the only possible sacrifice because His life was perfect. He was without sin. But none of us are. I mean, how many of you have sin in your life? See, I asked it wrong at the last service. I said, how many of you don't have sin? You know, and only a few hands went up. So I thought I'd ask it this way. So if you're here and don't have a relationship with Jesus, and you know that you're a big-time sinner, well, man, we are big-time sinners who've just been big-time saved. Amen? And so God is good, isn't He? And so we give Him all the glory. You don't have to tell us what you've done. Man, God saved us, and that's all we need to know. And He wants and is willing to save you. John writes, because he wants to start with the very thing, that this God, He's incredible. And so we get to where we left off from last week in chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. He just writes a couple of lines here, and he makes three addresses. He makes addresses to dear children, and that would be everybody who's a follower of Jesus. Raise your hand if you're a follower of Jesus. Good. And then he says, I write to you fathers. Now, when he says fathers here, he's writing to those who have been in the faith for a while, whether men or women. But the address is the fathers. So how many of you here would say, I've been following Jesus for some time now? Raise your hand. All right, good, good. And then he says, I write to you young men. And again, the designation isn't meant just to be males. The designation is chronological, that how many of you have not, you're following Jesus, but you're kind of new in the journey. You haven't been journeying long. Raise your hand. All right, good deal. So, he's writing. He's encouraging the church. And sometimes you need to be encouraged. And I like to say this. You know, it's been the thrill of my ministry to be a part of Hillview Heights Church. I don't think we're a perfect church, and I figured that out when I came. So if it was perfect before I got here, I wrecked the whole thing, but I think you all would agree that you did too when you came. And so not perfect church, but man, I'm so excited what God is doing here. Man, I'm excited to be a part of that. I mean, listen, 155 people came to know Jesus in Costa Rica. Last Sunday, 17 people came to know Jesus. I mean, God is just doing some incredible things. And so I want to say a couple things today to be an encouragement. Because people always are like, well, you know, I don't know what I think about church. I mean, I like God and everything, but I'm not sure about church. Well, let me just encourage you. The only reason there's any value to the church is because there's value to the words of Jesus. And the church is very important to Jesus. The Bible teaches us that Jesus gave His life for the church. So we are, in essence, the bride of Christ. So we're here, we're gathering followers of Jesus, and John is writing this encouragement. I always know that somebody's a part of a great church when people have really negative things to say about your church. So I don't know if you've ever had the experience of sharing with somebody that you go to Hillview Heights Church. And that comes with a plethora of responses. I was up at Upward Basketball talking to a guy. He didn't know me. I didn't know him. And I asked him what he did. He told me. I asked him where he went to church. He told me. He goes, yeah, we looked at churches. He goes, we came to this place. He's like, gosh. Then had a few other things to say, and I just listen. And we get to the polite part of the conversation, where he says, what do you do? I said, oh, I'm a pastor. He goes, oh, really, where? I was like, here. And he gets this look on his face. He's like, you know, I refer a lot of people, you know, to come to the church. You know, somebody will say, this church is too evangelistic. I mean, it's like they preach Jesus all the time. You see, we believe it's all about Jesus. And we can preach on, I mean, there's other good things I guess you could preach on. But they're not eternity in their scope and in their range. So it's about Jesus. And so people say, so, man, it's all about Jesus. I said, well, there's a lot of churches you can go to all over the place that don't preach Jesus, so you can find one. But I'm so thankful that at Hillview Heights Church, you know, a guy was telling Pastor Steve, and last week he came up after, he says, man, thank you that this message never changes. that it's always about the cross and the resurrection. It's always about Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you, probably for me today, one of the most exciting parts of the day is just being in the baptismal with people. Their lives are changed. I mean, what about the Bumpuses? Man! How incredible! But listen! Do you think Steve Bumpus Jr. ever thought that his obedience to Jesus would result in the baptism of his father, his mother, and his wife? He didn't know where he was going. Jesus just said, Steve, follow me. And he did. And look at the impact. And you know why I say that to you? Because some of you are here. You're kind of in crisis mode. And Jesus is just saying to you, follow me. Follow me. And you have no idea how it's going to impact the lives of the people that are around you. John writes, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. Jesus has done this. If you are saved, that means Jesus did for you what you could not do for yourself. Jesus did it. It wasn't His cross He was on. It was yours. It was mine. And Jesus went to the cross and He died so that your sins and my sins could be forgiven. And John says, here's the first thing, and I want all of you who follow Jesus to know this. Your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. Jesus has done this. Amen. And so Jesus has done this work. It's the first thing. He's writing, it's poetic what He's saying. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That means there's no other hope, because all of us, raise your hand if you're a sinner. All right, good deal. That's everybody. The Bible says we've all sinned. And there's no other hope for us, because the result, the wages of that sin in our life is death. And some of you might say, well, how does death happen? It's spiritual death. And that's the difference between an eternity in heaven and an eternity in hell. So we believe this is crucial. That's why we preach Jesus and not Benjamin Franklin. I think Benjamin's a good guy. Did some great things. Appreciate some of the inventions. But He can't save you. Only Jesus can do that. Then He writes this. I write to you, fathers. I write to you, those of you who've been in the journey for a while. I write to you because you have known Him who is from the beginning. You have known Him who is from the beginning. So you've been in the journey a while. And if you've been in the journey a while, you found out that the journey takes some turns that you weren't counting on. You find out that the journey gets a little bit bumpy. You find out that the journey doesn't always take you where you want to go, but you're in the journey. And if you've been in the journey a while, not only have you learned that those things exist, you have learned this incredible truth that God will get you through. Every time He's batting 1,000, every time God will get you through. Now, the words that's used here, when John's writing, he says, I write to you, fathers, those who have been in the journey, I write to you because you have known Him who is from the beginning. Now, the word known, when you see that used in the Bible, it has a deeper connotation than just, you know, meeting somebody or making an acquaintance. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that Abraham knew Sarah. So what happened as a result of them knowing each other? Come on now, somebody say it loud. Y'all get a little uncomfortable. We're at church talking about sex. Yes! Isaac is the result, because they knew each other. And that no, it's intimate. It's a personal relationship. And it's hard to talk about that in 2007. Because some of you are here and you like to know a lot of people. You like to know people you're not married to. And so we always have to talk about this in 2007. I heard a pastor. He said it better than anybody ever heard. Because right now, some of you are getting a little nervous. Some guy squeezing some girl's hand, whispering, he's not talking about us. We're married in our hearts. And I heard a pastor say one time to his congregation, you're not married in your heart, you're married in your pants. And so the truth is, God wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And so He's calling us to obedience. There's a certain way that we live our lives. And He's saying, so listen, those of you, you've been doing this for a while. You have known Him who is from the beginning. You have known Him. And that's intimate. And so you don't have to know all kinds of other people, because you know Jesus. And now I can live my life in order. I can live my life the way that God wants me to live his life. Now I know some of you, maybe some of you are saying, I don't know if that was really appropriate. It's Sunday morning. Man, if I've learned something incredible from Pastor Steve, one of the things I've learned is the urgency of this message and the urgency of truth. And so listen, I really want you to listen. I mean, some of you are sitting there next to each other, and the point of the sermon isn't for you to feel guilty if you're sleeping together. The point is for you to know there's a hope and a strength that you can live life the way God wants you to. Or some of you, mate, you're just here selling yourself short week after week after week. And I want you to know that God's enough for you. He's all that you need. I want you to hear that. I want you to know it, to believe it, and to live it. And every week we get to pray with people, and people will tell us, man, my life's been changed forever. Forever. What I've never been able to do, I can now do because God lives in me. How many of you want some of that? Now that's powerful. That's what it's about. And that's Jesus in our lives. It doesn't just begin and end with us inviting Him to come into our life. That's the beginning of an incredible journey. But it involves all along learning more about who He is and following Him. He says, I write to you, young men, because you've overcome the evil one. Now listen, let's be really honest. How many of you really feel like you've overcome the evil one? I mean, how many of you feel like He just tramples on you week after week? I mean, sometimes that's how I feel. Now listen, don't get into your feelings. They deceive you. All right? I don't know that feelings are from God, because my feelings are usually telling me something that's not true. So I've got to listen. So like, I'll walk into GNC. Anybody know what GNC is? Well, I walked in there by accident, obviously. But I learned when I got in there that they sold pills that help you lose weight. And I was like, all this working out. How foolish. Give me an extra large bottle, you know? But it's funny when you're in GNC, because they're trying to sell diet products. So they're not trained to make you feel good about yourself. And the lady on the counter says, yeah, I'd say you're probably carrying about 30% body fat. And I was wondering which third of me I could live without, you know? But it's always different when you go buy a suit jacket. You know, I go into a suit jacket store, like, yeah, I like my suit jacket, and you know, and the girl takes me over to the 40 rack. You know, the 40-something. It's kind of like when you go to the doctor and get on the scales and they put the first one on like 150. I'm like, which leg would you like up there, you know? And so we go to the 40 rack and I just look at her and I'm like... So we go to the 50. So like, this is a 50. And all a 50 is two jackets sewn together. And so, and it's really tough for me because I need it this wide and this short, you know. So it's awkward. It's embarrassing. I feel bad. She can see it in my eyes. And she says to me, well, I mean, you know, a lot of guys that have big shoulders and big arms have to wear a 50. Yeah, I hadn't thought of it like that. I'll take three. John is just trying to hit us with the truth. He's not candy coating it. Don't listen to your feelings. Listen to what God has to tell us. I write to you, young men, because you've overcome the evil one. I know you don't feel like you've overcome the evil one, but it is the truth. You have. How? Because Jesus has already died on the cross. He's already sealed the victory. The enemy has no power over your life, and you are victorious. And it's almost as if what John is really saying is, live like you've overcome the evil one. And then you will find the power that God will give you to overcome the evil one. And you know, then he just repeats himself. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Because it's all about Jesus. Don't miss that, church. It is all about Jesus. And John is writing to this church. It's in crisis. And people, the leaders, some of the leadership has left, and the church is freaking out, wondering, where is God in all of this? And he just says these simple words, these simple reminders. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And it's a reminder. You know why we need to be reminded? You know why I remind my 9-year-old not to beat my 6-year-old? Because he forgets. And I have to remind him. I have to remind him. You know, I'd go to my dad and I'm limping. I was like, Dad, my leg's killing me. And man, he just would smack me upside the head with a big old ring. And I'm looking at him like, why'd you do that? He says, your leg hurt? And I'm like, no. It doesn't. To be reminded. Just be reminded. Listen, you've been in this journey a while. Those of you who raise your hand, you've been in this journey a while. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Nothing's gone undone. Nothing has gone not worked out. God works it out. Matter of fact, the Bible said all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. It's going to work out. So you know what I think He's saying? So if you've been in the journey a while, you ought to find some people that haven't been in the journey for as long and remind them it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. You're going to make, you can get through this. Man, I've the same temptations that face me now faced me my whole life. But what's changed with Jesus is I don't have to give in to those temptations anymore. He's truly, and I really want, listen, this is a truth. That He gives me the power to overcome the temptations in my life. They're still there. Everybody with me? They're still there. I call people every week that when they come to know Christ, part of what I do here at Hillview is after somebody comes to know Christ, I call them. I usually call on Tuesday or Thursday nights. Hopefully some of you have gotten a call from me, and I call, and somebody will always tell me, and I tell the story all the time. Somebody will always say, Pastor Jamie, I don't know that I'm saved. And I'll say, why? I said, man, those same temptations are in my life. I still want to do some of those bad things. And I'll say, well, let me ask you this. Are there any new desires in your life? And they'll say, like what? I said, do you want to please God? And they'll say, well, yeah, that's why I'm upset about my old temptations. I said, well, you know what? You can't have a desire to please God unless God has saved you. So some of the old desires aren't gone, but I've got new ones. Now I want to please God. You know what I believe? I believe there's a lot of you here this morning, and you are so beating yourself up because you still have some of these old desires. And God is trying to encourage you to say, listen, but you now have a desire to please me. Run with that desire. I mean, be obedient to that. Follow that one out in your life. He continues, I write to you, young men, because you are strong and a word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. What I love about 1 John is it's about fellowship. I mean, it's about us coming together. And I don't mean fellowship like in a traditional church. I mean, fellowship in a traditional church means there's like a bunch of buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Right? How many of you have been to that church? Right? And then they had like this incredible ingredient that somebody made, bringing together two incredible ingredients, corn pudding. I mean, corn, come on, corn pudding and fried chicken. What else do you need? I mean, you don't need any other side dishes. That's not fellowship. What John is writing about here is what our spirits can share because of the Spirit of God. That we can love each other. That we can carry each other's burdens. Somebody asked me one time, how do I lighten my burdens? Everybody ready? I'm going to tell you how. Everybody ready? Pick up somebody else's burden. And you'll be amazed at how light yours become. Because that's what God has designed in fellowship. That we carry each other's burdens. That we love one another. I want to close, but I want to say something. And I really want you to hear me. And I'm going to preface what I'm about to say. Here's the preface. The preface is, there are a lot of great churches in this area. There's a lot of them. I don't think we have a corner on great churches. I think there are a lot of great churches. Does everybody hear that? All right, having said that, I want to tell you, I've been in ministry 18 years, and I've never been in a place like this. I mean, what I told you earlier, 155 people come to know Christ in Costa Rica. And you know what? This church stands on the edge of having an opportunity to changing that entire country. I mean, right here, God could use this congregation to do that. And that's so exciting. Last week, 17 people came to know Christ. I can't tell you how many stories there are that you, like the Bumpuses, where somebody just got obedient and followed Jesus. And the way that God blessed that is other people in their life started to get it. How many of you long for an adult child that you wish would come back? How many of you are praying for a spouse that this doesn't get this, doesn't have a clue, or a friend, or a neighbor, or a coworker. Well, listen, let me just tell you, every time you're obedient, God blesses that obedience. And I don't know how He's going to bless it. All right? I mean, a lot of people on TV say the way He'll bless it is He'll send you a check. He's got, you know, a check with your name on it. I don't know. I like the theologian Billy Duvall, what he says, that God's got a blessing with your name on it, right? But God's going to bless that obedience. And so there's a lot of you here today, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You know, I don't know how else to say it except to say that He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to know you. And if there's any inkling in you today, anything that you feel like you need to be saved, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar today and to trust Him. He's the only hope you have. He's the only hope that you have. There are a lot of you here today, and you are followers of Jesus, but you've never been baptized since you came to Christ. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not obedient, there's only one other thing you can be. Disobedient. And so I'm going to ask you to be obedient. And I don't know what God's going to do with that. You don't know what God's going to do with that. You don't know whose life that's going to touch. But I want to encourage you today to be obedient to Him. And so I want to say this. I've been in a lot of churches, and God is doing something that's just very, very different here. And if you're just coming Sunday after Sunday and just sitting, oh man, you're missing what God has for you. You think it's fun just to come and sit. You ought to get involved. You ought to carry other people's burdens. It's incredible. It's amazing. I love praying with my kids, and I always tell them, you know, Sam, God has a special plan for your life. And you know, he'd be like, wow, what is it, Dad? I don't know. Still trying to figure out what Dad's special plan is, but I'm going to tell you, it's been the most unbelievable life following Jesus. It's been incredible. And I really, God's doing something really amazing here. Don't miss what God's doing. Don't miss what God's doing. Sink yourself into what God's about. Get involved. Get connected. That's what 1 John is about. It's about fellowship. It's about being a part. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. If you want to know how to be a part, email any of the pastors here. It's their last name at hillview.com. You email them, say, man, I want to be a part. Come to the altar today. If you're here and you haven't been baptized, listen, be obedient today. It's always frustrating talking to people, and everybody has a list of reasons why they can't get baptized, and they think they're all good reasons, but really all they are is disobedience. There's one prerequisite to getting baptized: have a relationship with Jesus. Here's what I hear more than anything. Well, there's some stuff going on in my life that shouldn't be going on. I'm going to try to wait till I get that worked out. None of your pastors would be baptized if that was our philosophy. That's not what God says. Matter of fact, you know what we've seen happen a lot here? People that just decide to go ahead and be obedient, you know what? Some of those issues start getting settled out through their obedience to Him. Father, we come to You this morning. And Lord, we come to You. We're excited about what it means to follow You. God, give us the strength. And You said that we have it. And we thank You that we can know You, that we can have a relationship with You, God. And I pray that we not miss it. And I pray right here in this room right now, people that need to be obedient, they'll be obedient. God, help us not to miss the incredible things that You have. May we follow You faithfully. May we hear Your voice. May we realize You have a special plan for our lives. And Lord, may we spend our lifetimes excitedly trying to figure out what it is that You have. So Lord, together today, we thank You for a cross and a resurrection. Lord, we thank You that we can trust You. Because God, people can just believe all kinds of crazy things. But just because we believe them doesn't make them true. So I thank You for Jesus, who said He was the way, the truth, and the life. And that nobody could come except through Him. God, while every other world religion tells me that I can be good enough to get to heaven on my own, I thank You that the Bible says I can't get there on my own. That I'm in need of a Savior. And I thank You for Jesus, who came to the earth, who lived a perfect life, and died, and His blood was spilled. He died on my cross so that I could know you. So Lord, move in this place. Help us to hear from you. May we be obedient. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. The altar is open. You come. Pastors are here. We'd love to pray with you. Church, this is the time. This is the moment. Be obedient. You come.